Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Hi, everybody. Here we are, Wednesday, Spike's Car Radio Day. Good to be with you. We're at Zuckerman's Place in Baldwin Hills on a Saturday night. We're all relaxed. We're fed.
It's cold Friday.
We feel. Oh, it's Friday.
It
you're
is
right.
Friday.
Boy,
yeah.
Look, I'm losing my
I'm
mind.
I'm so relaxed you are.
Yeah. We did, and we're going to, I think, try to do these little Instagram lives before the show so you can see all the preparation we do. We sit around and we exchange cigars and we decide what to eat and then we record. So if you missed the one on Friday night at 7 o'clock, keep an eye on my Instagram stories. Anyway, Tony Dow is on the show. Leave It to Beaver. Tony Dow is not just Wally from Leave It to Beaver. He's a friend of Fireball. Fireball, who's, you know, he's working my puppet strings. He's got me under his control. It's everything is about Fireball. Tony Dow also has a coloring book, but Tony Dow is also a car guy and collects cars.
And an animal guy.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's talk about cars, though, Zuckerman. I'm sure I wanted to talk about the BMW M4 competition.
Oh, yes.
But I think, and I'm sure you, like me, got a million DMs about this GT3 Touring. They will not be selling a manual transmission in California. You cannot order it.
For 1 year, maybe.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
So apparently, and this is, you know, Zuckerman can speak about this, but...
Well, let's set it up first. It was a sound consideration. With the manual gearbox, it violated sound levels
for
cars. So
it's Porsche's interpretation of a California law. A Porsche lawyer looked at it and said, we shouldn't do this. We could get in trouble for doing this. Apparently, the law is being changed.
The law is being changed in what direction? What do you mean?
To make it more stringent or less?
Unclear. They said that it was worded a little weaselly. It was like, we should be able to sell the car for the 2023 model year because of this law being changed. But maybe they won't.
A Jaguar X-Type can be legal in California.
F-Type.
What it is the way those noise regulations work, it's like in top gear at XRPM, and just because of the way that it's a 6-speed transmission instead of a 7-speed, so that the top gear is lower than it would be on the PDK one.
See, again, this is more next door. This is those people racing on Sunset, and this is the way to quiet that down, is to make these cars quieter. I just never thought of a GT3 Touring as a loud car. I mean, we had one, Zuckerman. Well, did you ever go in that thing and think that was too loud?
At 9,000 RPM, it's, you know.
I thought my RS 4.0 was loud inside because there was such a lack of sound deadening material. I think that people like to get excited about things. Boo-hoo. You get a PDK for a year, boo-hoo. Or you get a car out of state. There's been plenty, in the course of history, there's been plenty of 49 state cars that owners in California have managed to enjoy out of state, sometimes
but
in state.
Johnny, let me ask you this question, because Zuckerman and I were discussing it. Neither of us know the answer. Is it that you can't order a GT3 Touring manual from the dealer, or that you will not be able to register a GT3 Touring in the state of California?
I think it's both. And let me just clear one thing up, and this is, everyone thinks differently, but this is 100% true. There is no mechanical difference between a Touring and a wing car. They are the same. The a Touring is heavier because they take the wing off, but they put a hydraulic wing on the back. So to compensate for that, they make the suspension, you know, I don't know, 2% in one direction different than the wing car. But other than that, they come the same assembly line, same parts, same everything. So everyone assumes that the Touring rides better. It doesn't. It's the same. The front end's identical. Engine's identical, everything.
So then...
It also means, my interpretation...
Are they saying it's quieter? How does a PDK quieter?
It's the
quieter?
Gears. Again, it's the
so, same. Yeah, it's the gears. And it's how... I don't know this law, but it's like... It's going to be at, like, you know, 55 or some stupid idiot number, 50 miles an hour in top gear. So, you know,
right,
in top
right.
gear
I get it.
In a PDK, you're in seventh, and it's like a double overdrive gear. And in remember, the GT3 six-speed, it's a racing gearbox. So six could be one-to-one. It could be direct. So
right.
at that, you know, it could be like 3,000.
So what other cars are affected by this?
None.
Do we know?
No, but
well, it seems weirdly that this one car has been singled out.
Porsche's lawyers are interpreting it that way. That's
right,
the way
right.
they are interpreting
scaredy
it.
Scaredy cats.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? I never heard of German scaredy cats.
Scaredy
cats.
Oh,
they're
cats.
Scared of everything. Oh, yeah, no, oh.
Count scaredy cat. We yeah. can't do this.
Well, they, you know.
So, but anyway, I'm going to, I meant to call Porsche this week and get to, I don't really, doesn't really affect me that much, so I haven't really been, but I'm going
to. I know, of all the things to have to worry about.
Well, it's just like, as Paul said, boo-hoo, like get a wing car.
And the simple workaround, Montana plates. Nevada plates.
Yeah, you got to buy it out of state. That's the only thing.
Okay.
Do you have to buy it out of state, too?
Yeah.
They will buy it in Arizona.
Well,
Dean
Dean said we could have it delivered to another
right,
state,
it's
right?
It's a courtesy. He'll have a different deal. Like, you know, sometimes Dean will arrange for our friend in New York to take right. delivery of a car in New York that Dean
I see,
handled
I see.
The order of.
Right.
God, you're fucking killing me with this smoke. Why do you have to
yeah,
blow
you're
this
blowing
shit
it, hey.
Right in my
all
face?
I do is complain about the smoke.
No, I don't like...
I want all the listeners to know this time.
Yes.
I like it when he says all the listeners.
Oh,
were some of them
like
not
that.
Listening before
it's like
then?
Bernie Mac, like, dear America.
Now I'm going to tell all the listeners,
all
not
the
just
listeners
the half
know.
The listeners.
These guys are fucking assholes. They blow this shit right in my face, and they know
no
how
sympathy.
Much
nobody
I
has
hate
sympathy.
Cigars.
Don't blow it in your face. That's
yeah.
You
it's
gotta,
a,
he does.
We say it every week.
Well,
Zuckerman.
You drop the ashes.
I ash
he
on your beautiful furniture.
We don't. It's hard to control the
really?
Air. Yeah,
it's
it
hard.
Is.
It's hard for me.
I
to
sit
live.
At my picnic table and the air blows in a million different directions. It's the shape of this thing here. Can we get back yeah. to the show? Anyway, that's enough on the GT3 Touring.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about.
It's not even out yet. Wait
yeah,
it's out.
And we're
yeah.
not worried about it because this. You know, we believe there are other greater things coming. A GT1, maybe. I'm about 60% on that rumor.
It makes sense. Why
it
wouldn't
makes
they?
Sense.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
But like I think we said before the show, we'll say it here, there was no pushback. I didn't hear from anyone about that rumor when we said it on the podcast. And usually I hear from a lot of folks that can confirm different aspects.
Operation Mincemeat.
Yeah,
dissimulation.
Look, either we got a scoop and we'll be first to it, or, you know, Dean Maroney's information is bad.
He stole $200,000 and we'll never see him again.
Yeah, yeah. Did he? You talked to him.
He came in.
Did he take any other deposits?
He took umbrage that we made fun of him for stealing the money.
You mean?
And then, of course, he had to admit that we've been great for business. So, and then he said that he was going to get in trouble for revealing this.
Here, let's do a smoke test. Watch. I'm going to blow it this way and see if it comes.
The smoke
you
know, is,
if you don't
the
blow
smoke
it at
is
me,
aimed
it's much
Zuckerman.
Better. When you blow it at me.
So I had a funny
okay.
one.
That
I
one worked a little better.
Yes, you didn't blow it at me.
I had a funny one the other week where there's apparently a new Ferrari Dino, for lack of a better thing, but it's going to be like a V6 hybrid Ferrari that's based on that Maserati MC20,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I broke the story. And then I said, maybe it'll be the SF60 or whatever, the SF90.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, maybe it's the 60 because it's a V6. And the Ferrari guy was like, no, because the 90 was for 90 years, so it can't be called that. I'm like, oh, okay, then what's the real name? And he didn't, you know, he didn't deny it.
Ah.
He didn't say it wasn't
you
happening.
Stumbled onto
He's
it.
He's just like, you got the name wrong.
You stumbled
so, Joe, if you're listening, ha-ha.
Well, there you go.
I tell you, I am not so much focused on brand new cars. I've got a couple of classic cars coming in, Ferriston. I think
here
you know
we go.
About, and I'm excited.
Tell me. Tell me.
This is where Zuckerman surprises us with purchases.
Yes, I do keep it. A 97 C2 cab, 993 Cabriolet.
Oh, you bought that car, the Sloaney car.
Over red. It's from Sloan, our friend Sloan, Brett Sloan in Connecticut. It was his car for a year, and it's a tasty little number. It's got about 35,000 miles on it, and it's going to be a car that I think you're going to want to share with me, Ferris.
Yeah, it's a pretty car. I looked at it.
And it's just the right thing that you need. It's the Goldilocks car for driving around traffic in L.A.
I agree.
Right?
It's a nice thing. You like these cars, and rightfully so, these cars that are easy to drive, that you tend to drive, and put lots and lots of miles on them.
Right.
And I like those cars, too, Zuckerman. I agree.
Comfortable.
What else did you get?
Conditioning works. Well, 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 well.
Well, well, well.
A 1990 190E 2.5 16 valve Evo 2 with
Lovely.
The DTM body kit.
Lovely car. Good.
Wow.
Good. Well bought. Well bought. That's that completes your collection.
5,000 miles, my dear friend.
Yeah, that's good. That's
yes.
good.
Wow.
And so are you familiar with that car?
Yeah, it has the performance of a 2015 Ford Fusion Hybrid, but
exactly.
yes, they're lovely cars.
Exactly. And that's the point. It's the point is not about competing against today,
but
getting into the mindset of them and of then and what Mercedes was doing to try to counter the juggernaut of the E30
M3. And those cars were raced in DTM, and they were both like madly successful. They dominated that era of motorsports. Yeah, they were
a different
very
approach.
Cool.
The Benz approach was much more expensive. It's got all of that body kit, but it's got three settings inside the car for high, medium, and low.
Yeah, and it had a bigger engine. You know, typical Mercedes, more power, more torque. So yeah, those are sweet. Plus, it's a dogleg transmission, if I remember correctly.
Just like the Evo 2 E30 I have.
Yeah, yeah. So for racing, real racing. That's awesome.
We're going to take those two out, me and you.
All right.
And we will go on a little drive.
I love it.
Only one will come back.
Two go in, one comes out.
If you're looking for a car like Zuckerman, you need only go to collectingcars.com. These guys are putting out cars every day, auction style. You got to check them out, collectingcars.com. They've got great content on YouTube. Check them out there and subscribe. They've got a video right now on a 911 reimagined by Singer. And, of course, the Chris Harris 100 million pounds celebration video. They've done 100 million pounds of sold cars. That's a lot. And to celebrate, Chris Harris takes his GT3 Touring, loudly does donuts. They've got a lot of great stuff this week if you want to check it out. They have a new LA office and cars are coming in. A 1995 993 Carrera RS, one of just 1,104 ever built.
What color?
Let's see. Eurospec car that spent a little time in Japan, finished in polar silver. That's a delightful fishy blue silver with a great history. They've got a 2019 Audi RS5 Sportback. Sophisticated all-rounder equipped with carbon trim package. That is Sonoma green.
Ooh, the best color. That's a nice car.
Yeah, black Napa leather, nice. And that only has 6,600 miles. A 1948 Ford Funk Brothers tractor. An original Ford N-Series tractor customized in period by the Funk Brothers. And Jaguar E-Type from 1961. Flat 4 3/8 Roadster. An opalescent silver blue, which is also polar silvery. Lovely.
Very uncomfortable. Very beautiful.
Yeah, very beautiful cars.
Yeah, I like those early 3.8s. Torquier, revier than the 4.2s.
Yeah, it's a great place. If you don't know where to get a car, go to collectingcars.com. Collectingcars.com. They got the commenters there. You can ask questions before you bid. They also have a daily email you can sign up for. Collectingcars.com. They sent us some hats, guys. Look right over there. We got three hats. three t-shirts and three pads, white pads.
Nice.
I need those. Those are great.
I need the hats.
Huh?
I need the hats.
There they are. They're right there for you. Thank you, by the way, Collecting Cars, for sending
that
over.
Ash on one.
Why sell your car anywhere else? List for free, sell for free, hassle free. Our only sponsor today. Thank God.
What about Blue Chew? I have just created a new Blue Chew ad and a new Blue Chew device. It's like the Pez candy dispenser for your Blue Chews. Can you imagine what that dispenser would look like?
Yes.
Let me guess.
Where do you keep it?
Your horrible penis, Zuckerman, right? It's the Zuckerman penis Pez dispenser of Blue Chew.
Just pop it in your mouth. Hey. Suck it down.
It's a butt plug. You store it there.
Oh, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Can you guess? Look, Blue Chew, I don't even think Blue Chew's in business. After last week, we had our four-year anniversary show where we talked about it's crickets, nothing, nobody. Did you send me a video of another podcast that lost Blue Chew as a sponsor too?
Yes, and the same thing happened. They told him, say anything you want. Yeah. And he talked about taking Blue Chew to have sex with his dog. So they must have decided this is a really bad idea between Spike's Car Radio and this other guy.
Wait. I'm new. What the hell did you say?
We were just talking about if I could eat the Blue Chew.
No, I was not.
Yes, you.
You were. He was saying if his penis had a parrot beak and could crunch Blue Chews eat them that way.
Or snort them through your hose. Faster.
And what a surprise. Yeah. They don't want to advertise on the show anymore. I was totally surprised. What? How can this be?
Well, at least you're not screwing your dog, right?
Wait, you don't want to try the product? And you're saying that a parrot-beaked penis should chew them?
No, snort it.
Really? You're upset?
Oh, I remember you. You had some cracks as well. Are you chewing gum during dinner? Is that gum you're chewing during dinner, honey?
Yes, why are you chewing gum?
Spit out your gum. Dessert gum.
Chew. Okay, go. Now. Oh, no. Koji. Oh, my God. Things got out of hand there. Koji lost it and yanked us and pulled us down. Is everything still there? We're still going.
So good.
Lieberman.
Yes.
It's time to do. What is Lieberman driving?
I'm driving a BMW N4, but I'd rather hear what you're driving.
I'm driving a Dodge Durango Hellcat.
Ooh.
So,
wow.
710 horsepower.
Is that here?
It's right out front.
Oh, great.
Yeah. 710 horsepower, seat six. I took it up Angeles Crest this morning. My friend Sean got in front of me. He was in a Honda Civic Type R, and he's a very, very talented driver, and I was on his butt. It hung with him all the way up, which I've never laughed so hard. Had to turn the traction control all the way off because it was bogging in the corners, but once it was free to dance, like...
What does bogging in the corners mean?
You know, it's detecting wheel slippage because it weighs 5,700 pounds and was slipping a little bit. But, so, you know, the stability control kind of cuts the engine power. But so if you turn stability control off, then you can keep your right foot down and do all your braking with your left feet and keep up with a really good little Honda. So.
How old is that chassis?
It's old. So that actually was part of the Daimler Chrysler era.
Yes.
So that's what they got in the divorce, was the last generation GLE, whatever they're called actually, and the GLS. So they were structurally the same. So it's a unibody with like vestigial frame rails. So it's actually like pretty trucky.
I love how Dodge just milks the hell out of a platform.
It's brilliant.
How they just keep you coming back. More horsepower.
It's
They've
brilliant.
Got a 15, 20-year-old
chassis.
But
it handles really well. It just...
It's shocking how much fun this car was. I would rather have that Jeep that I was talking about last time, but like... this thing's incredible. It's 1 year only. They're all sold out already, I think.
Did you say how much they cost?
I think it's like 90. It was 88,000.
For
710 horsepower. Yeah, it's totally worth it. Because, I mean, no other SUV makes that much horsepower, you know? I mean, an Urus is 641. I had an Urus this weekend, too. And this is more power, you know? And it's kooky. Like, I had on the G-meter, it was pulling 1.08 Gs left and right. So it's like balanced, and that's crazy.
What is
for
the
an
most
SUV.
G's you've pulled in a car?
Oh, probably 1.5 or something, like right. in a Senna, something right. like that. But no, yeah. but anything over one G, that means that
yeah.
the it can it's it can it, it's the it's pulling itself and a little bit more than itself, and it weighs almost 3 tons.
Right.
With
right.
me, it's 3 tons, you know.
There you go.
It was hustling.
Admirable.
But yeah, yeah. the acceleration G was even more. It was like 1.12. So it was like, it thinks scoots.
Let's talk about this M4.
Yes.
It's a curious car. People have been asking me about it. It's a Dravet Gray Metallic. It is $100,000. 0-60.
It's the M4 competition.
M4 comp, 0-60, 3.8, twin turbo inline 6, 473 horsepower. Very likable car. With lots of carbon fiber.
Yeah,
two doors.
Cookie seats. Does it have the cookie
it's
seats?
It's got here. There's some things. It's just not the car for me because I'm not. Like, if I were 25 and I had a little bit of money, I can't think of a better car to drive. It's really sure. a great handling car, and it's really nice. I'm just the wrong guy to really talk about it. The seats, though, and you're the perfect guy to ask about this, they're adjustable sports seats. They're great. They hold you like a regular sports seat, but you can make all the adjustments of almost like an 18-way seat.
But it doesn't have the carbon fiber crotch insert.
It does.
Oh, yeah. Those
it
are
does.
Good seats.
Yeah, it does,
seats.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
a great seat.
It's the best seat for like going fast. It's miserable for like schlepping across L.A. at 25 miles an
hour. I took
it
to Dodger Stadium, and it was a little difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, to get to be in
Take
traffic.
Take your wallet out of your back pocket.
Well, I think anything that's not a Model Y with that auto driving, full auto in traffic right now doesn't measure up.
But
this is a great car. But the question for you is, who is this car for? Am I wrong that this is a younger man's
$100,000 car for a 25-year-old?
Well, so you know, I said who's got some money, a successful yeah. young man.
I mean, so look, you can get an M4 non-comp, which would have, you know, 74,000-ish to start. It's severely down on torque. You know, the torque in the car up front is 479 pound-feet. And it's 406 for the non-competition, so it's a big difference. And, you know, BMW says 0-60, 3.8. I think we got 3.5.
Yeah,
with
it feels
four
quicker,
door.
For sure.
So the yeah. so the two-door will be even quicker because it'll be 100 pounds lighter. I've only driven the M3 comp, but, I described it as the five-legged man at the ass-kicking party. It's just, it's unbelievable what they accomplished with that car. It's just... I would love to have one just only for weekend drives. I would never like go to the supermarket or anything because of the seats. But like when you're driving in the canyons,
the supermarket stops.
Yeah, but,
I didn't go to the supermarket in it.
Yeah, but like
I didn't want to
in the canyons. I mean, it's almost unbeatable. It's sort of like when the GTR came out,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly all these other supercars were like, yeah, you're not really there. You know,
yeah.
And it's sort of how this is in terms of like absolute idiotic stupid performance. It's really good.
Walk me through the various modes. So on the steering wheel, you've got M1 mode, M2 mode, then you've got the M modes, and then you've got more adjustments that you make on the shifter knob.
So yeah, so
well,
M1,
that I found to be a little too much to, you know,
it,
think
it
about.
Is, it's daunting. So M1 and M2 are both fully programmable. So you can do both. So I'll give you a for instance. So typically, M1, I would set it up where it's like everything is in sport, not sport plus.
Right.
And then traction control, because this now is variable traction control. So like mm-hmm. 10 is all the way on, 0 is off. So I'd put it at 5. Whereas
right.
M2, I would program full sport plus everything, traction control all the way off.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just handy. And then, but if you want to make an adjustment, because sometimes, because it's actually an automatic transmission. It's not a dual clutch. But, you know, you might say, I have it on like 3, and it shifts really hard. You might say, I don't need those crazy shifts. So
right.
while you're going, without having to go into the menu, you can just hit a button on the thing. Or like, this road sucks. I'm just going to click down the shocks or something like that. So you can do fine adjustments after you've programmed.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What are you driving, Zuckerman? Why don't you take it? I'll leave it here for you. You're a BMW guy.
Yeah.
Here's your moment.
I gotta go to Malibu.
See, this is what he says. He wants press cars. He's just offered one, and he goes,
"Hey, I don't want to." Joy,
What are you driving?
I'm driving the 92 964 RS Touring. It just got detailed. It's so tasty. It's so perfect.
That's actually I saw that thing in your other garage.
Hey, Kate, can you turn the lights on here for us?
That's that car
Zuckerman's
is so
daughter.
So sweet.
Yeah,
that is such a sweet car. And that's like one of 70 or something?
For Tourings, there were 75 or 6, right? So do you want to take it? You want to take the Touring?
I want you to enjoy your weekend, Zuckerman.
I will do
but
that.
I have that car till Tuesday, so if any time between now and then you want it, you can take it.
The M4 is extreme. I would love, and I think they're gone sadly, but I'd love to get your opinion of an M2 CS. As a BMW that, collector,
I would really like that to compare it to the 2011 1M I have. That would be very interesting.
Because I think you'd throw the 1M in the garbage after driving the M2 CS. Like, it's
really
right. It's garbage.
There's just certain cars that, like, they get everything right. The engineers don't have any limits, you know, like the accountants are like locked in a closet or something. And to me, like, I know the M3, M4, you know, has better ultimate performance and it's quicker and all that, but I would take the M2 in a heartbeat.
Some things just taste better.
Yeah. It's just perfect.
What was this hypercar event that you were telling me about?
Yeah.
I think I was invited to it too, but they decided to write you a check.
And save me the trouble. Yeah, the check
and
cleared.
I saw you on stage.
Yes.
Emceeing a couple events.
Yeah, so it's called Hypercar Invitational, and they get, like, I think it was like 100 people.
And where was it?
It was at Laguna Seca.
Right.
And it's 2 days at Laguna Seca, and the crazy part was Sunday was an unlimited noise day, so, like, there was an AMG CLK GTR, there was F1 cars, there was a Porsche 910, just run as hard as you want. There was McLaren F1s. I mean, it was nuts.
So, wait, there are noise issues at the racetrack that you can't run a race car?
Oh, yeah, at Laguna Seca, they have crazy noise.
Because people live somewhere close to that? Is that it?
That's part of it.
Have you ever heard that before, Zuckerman? I've never heard that.
I just
assumed a racetrack, you can do whatever you want all the time.
Laguna Seca is worst-case scenario because not only are they building houses and for
ever
years it was safe because there was a military base there and they can't build houses there because there's like unexploded ordnance everywhere. But the way Laguna Seca is situated, you can light up.
I got a guy. He's like, was he blown off.
Yeah. What is that over there? Go fetch.
I need another 994.
Explosions equal Porsches. Yeah.
But the way Laguna Seca is, if you're 12 miles away, you can hear the loud cars there. It's just because it's just like a natural amphitheater. Yeah. So normally, like most days, it's 92 decibels, which is horrible. It's so soft. It just sucks. And then we had Saturday was 105 decibel day. So like a Huracan, a Lamborghini Huracan at full.
Is there a guy out there?
Yeah. There's a county employee that sits in a box.
God.
No. Yeah. When she goes to the bathroom, you get a radio call. Like, she's in the can, go.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
They also, have you ever seen a Laguna pipe? It's like a pipe that points to the left, an exhaust pipe. So that's just for going by the sound booth.
What happens when someone goes over the limit? Are they pulled from the track?
You get a black flag. Yeah, so every lap you get a black flag, and if you get three blacks on one car in one session, they pull you off.
Oh,
horrible. But on an unlimited day, which is super rare, never happens outside of like Pebble Beach, well, somehow we got one for this event, you could just go, and it was fantastic.
Wow.
I drove AMG SLS.
So were you
black
driving
series.
Other people's cars?
Yeah.
How many laps?
Oh, I did 50.
Like, what did they want you to do?
I was like the host MC. I was like, hey, welcome.
And
like,
then at the track, they said, here, drive my car.
Yeah, I helped out with different stuff. But then by the end, it was like, I made some friends, and they're like, you see my McLaren 765? Do some laps. Like, you didn't do enough. Get back out there.
Wow,
like, drive my other AMG. It was awesome. But yeah, no, it was great. We raised over $50,000 for the San Francisco chapter of Make-A-Wish Foundation. It was cool. I did that. I like led the auctions.
Who cares? Yeah.
Come on. It was a 15-year-old that had lymphoma. Like, come on.
Come on. Cut it out.
We raised $10,000 for that kid.
What are you waving at? Do you think this is self-aggrandizing, Mr. Lieberman, right now, or...
No,
you really not
no,
like make
I was
a
just
wish.
I was just trying to throw you off and get you to comment about.
I donated my old 74 911 to make a wish back in the day. And I always worried that the guy who took it, would die himself because there was the suspension was
I wish
rusting.
And here, take my car.
Yeah, it was falling apart. I don't think it went to someone who was dying. I think.
This one was cool because this kid was 15. He had an MGB and he needed $10,000 to restore it. So it's called Adopt a Wish. So you just pay for it. And one guy stood up and said, "I'll give $10,000."
I would have paid for that kid if that's what his wish.
Yeah, it was cool. No, one guy did. It was awesome. It was actually a cool moment because I was like, guys, can I get like 20 of you to put your hands up and each pledge $500? And 20 hands went up, and this guy just stood up right in front of me. He's like, "I'll do the whole 10." And I was like, "Okay, you're all still on the hook for something else, you know."
Auctioning, doing an auction from stage is
horrible, hard.
The most horrible job there is.
I didn't mind it.
Yours was fine because people were in a good mood.
They were.
And it's a worthy cause.
I was once, Zuckerman, I was once on stage in front of 1,000 lawyers who did not want to be at this presentation. And the network had said, they said, just go out. We just want you to say hi, you know, be funny for a few minutes and do this auction. And I said, what do you mean auction? You know, you call around in the room and you put people on the spot and you get them to bid. And I go, I don't know anybody. It's a bunch of lawyers from Los Angeles. You might have been there. This is 10 years ago. And the event starts and it's death. This is a horrible audience, right? It's bad. And the local Fox News guy is hosting it. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm sitting with the Fox people and I'm like, I don't want to go up here. This is a horrible, horrible thing. And now you've got me in a position where I've got to auction off tickets. I forget the show.
Unwanted tickets to cheap people.
But it was tickets to, yeah, a sitcom that was just bombing on Fox, just not doing well. And who wants to make the first bid? Nobody.
Crickets.
Crickets.
You don't want to see Boston Legal?
And I don't go, I don't do any of those things. And I say, I don't do that. I don't know how to, does anybody want to? And it was just dead silent, and it just got worse. And I'm looking at my network executives there at the table, and I'm like, you better fucking start. They're the only people. You bid, and they raise their hands and start bidding. And that was one of 10 items I had to get through. I'll never do it again. But oh. I ended up coming back with such an appreciation of what, you know, Charlie, is it, at yeah. Gooding? What he does and what these guys at Arm Sotheby's, the way they're able to fill the emptiness
Charlie,
with weird noise and talk get people to open up their wallets.
Fill the air with weird noise.
Yeah, because
noise.
It's
true.
If you look closely. Yeah, if you look closely at any of those auctions, there can be 2 or 3 minutes of silence up there, and you'll see him turn to David Gooding and go, you drove the car, and then David will tell a little story about driving it, right? But here I am standing on stage with nothing.
Nobody.
It wasn't Boston Legal. It was some...
Just your non-blue chew dick in your hand.
And yeah, and you're trying not to end your career by saying something like that because the president of the network is there.
On blue chew. He's got blue chew in his pocket, though.
But you had a friendly audience. You had guys
great.
That wanted to show off with their money.
Great.
It was small. You had gotten to know them, and you could talk about
it. It was
how many items did you auction off?
10, 11, 12, something like that. I mean, a lot of what we were auctioning off was like, you know, get a ride in a McLaren F1 around Laguna Seca. Randy
but
Post.
Do the guys there already know those things?
No one has an F1. I mean, that's
right.
Rare.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, Randy Pope's will drive you around Laguna Seca in a Senna GTR. So Randy holds the track record of Laguna Seca in a Senna.
Comet.
Here's the GTR.
I know, you're puking.
Yeah.
Puking. And then you might die.
Yeah. No, but we raised like...
I bid $4,000.
I think we got like $9,000 for the F1 ride. I mean, it was great. It was awesome. It was awesome.
That's good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well,
it was fun. So.
I won't do it next year.
No.
I don't want to do anything. I'm glad you're doing all of it.
Do
That's
it
good.
All.
Do it
Make
all.
Make us look good, Lieberman.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Lots of compliments. People there, they listen to the show.
That's good, as they should.
As they should.
Well, speaking of listening, we're all, I think, here, the three of us, Leave It to Beaver fans. I am. I really am. Like, that is one of the shows that raised me, and I would always watch that show and go, why is my family not like that? Did you have that experience? Would you go, this dad and this mom, they're so nice.
Well... Yes,
you know,
I mean,
and my life is nothing like this. I'm not treated with the same dignity and respect.
There's a
lot of yelling. There's a lot of hitting. There was a throwing of a bag of Thanksgiving stuffing
potatoes
at my back. Yeah, when I love my parents and my childhood was my childhood, but I've always really admired that show.
You know,
and so go ahead, Zuckerman.
For me, it was like going to temple. More stuff not to believe.
Yes, exactly.
It's just
well
not
said.
The way anything works. I knew that at a young age.
Fireball set this interview up. I enjoyed my chat. Where Tony kind of quieted down, Fireball filled in. He's now been on the show 6 times, I think, in the last week. It's an all Fireball all the time. And I learned a lot, but what I especially loved is the way that Tony Dow used to live on his boat with his penguin, with his anteater, and with his otter. And I will post that picture in the announcement for the show. Here is my interview with Tony Dow.
Tony Dow, nice to meet you. How are you?
Hey, good to see you, Spike. How's everything with you?
Where are you checking in from? It's a lovely, you have a lovely video quality there and a lovely audio quality, which I thank you for.
Ah, well, that's good to hear. It's my office where I sit and do nothing. And I like your place. Your place is very cool, too.
This is, yes, the room above my garage. It's my, yeah, my happy, happy space. What do you have on the wall there behind you? Are you collecting watches, stopwatches?
I was until they all stopped.
But those, seriously, those are pocket watches up there.
Yeah, they're real. Yeah, I was collecting pocket watches for a while.
Wow.
Cool thing to collect because they're actually useful. You know, I used to, when I'm directing, I would need a watch, but then I found that the watch only inhibits you, and so I had to get rid of them.
So, you know, I first met you over the television set when I was a kid, and basically TV babysitted me. And I saw this family, this Leave It to Beaver family, and I just thought, boy, if this is what families are supposed to be, my family isn't even close to that. was your family at home, your real family, much different than your TV family?
Oh, yeah.
It was, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but actually, my family was great. I mean, I had a creative mom, and although a little cranky at times. And then I had a great father who was a designer, designed houses. And he was the coolest guy around. Everybody loved him. And the only problem with our household was alcohol. You know, back in that day, everybody drank. And so that was the activity of the day.
So how interesting. So there's a little too much drinking going on in your home. And then you'd go to this set and have this perfect family life. I mean, in some ways, did you want your TV family to be your real family?
No, I never thought about that, but that would have been a good idea. I think it was, you know, schizophrenia of going home at night was probably a little too much to take.
Yeah, I mean, also just, you know, how old are you when you're doing that show?
I was anywhere from 12 to 18, 12 to 18, yeah, six
Wasn't
years.
Didn't it feel odd? I mean, I have kids that age right now, and, you know, I have friends who have kids who are actors, and it always struck me as odd when we started, the kids expressed an interest in maybe acting, and I said, I just started feeling like, do you really want to work when you're 12, or do you want to have a childhood? Did it feel cool that you were on television and making money and had a career, or did you always feel like, you know, this is kind of stealing a little something from my childhood?
No, I'm sorry about this interview, but I never thought about that either. I was having fun, you know. It was an interesting life. I never realized what I was missing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was cool. I wouldn't recommend anybody get their kids into acting unless they're going to be really careful with them and make sure that they don't go off the rails, which is very easy to do. But in today's world, it's not as bad because the shows only last like five shows.
Yeah, right.
Well, we lasted 234 shows. So.
Did you have your parents on set with you a lot?
Yeah, we had to have a guardian, and the guardian was my cranky mom.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Wow. Yeah. So that's double. Do you find yourself, because I've had a smaller success like you that travels with you your entire career. Like, your show is what? It's been on the air now for over 60 years, right? I'm guessing it's still airing somewhere.
Oh, it's never been off the air.
It's never been off the air since what year?
Over 60 years.
Wow.
Since 57, it went on the air, and then, you know, just it never...
Have you made peace with the idea that you've had this lasting effect? Whenever I do an interview now, they talk about something I did 20 years ago, this episode of Seinfeld called The Soup Nazi. It doesn't matter what I'm working on now. Every interview starts off like that. But I have gratitude for it now, and I'm happy that I did something that people are aware of. I mean, I guess that's why we're here when we're, you know, writers and actors. Do you have gratitude for this part that you played, or does it bug you when, like, people like me start off a car interview asking about it?
Yeah, I finally did, you know, when I got to be in my 50s. Figured it out. But no, you're the Soup Nazis is really cool because it's a super character on probably the best television series ever made.
Well, you understand then how excited I am to interview you, because it really is one of the first shows that I ever watched, and I loved Eddie Haskell. I loved Wally. I nicknamed my brother Wally after your character.
Right.
To this day, he is the cue card guy for Jimmy Fallon. And he's known as Wally and Seth Meyers. So you've had lasting ripples in the show business world with your character. But let's talk about cars.
All right. Those are cooler.
So you're 12. Your teenage years are on Leave It to Beaver. Is it at that moment that your eyes start opening to car collecting and liking cars? Or is it before then?
No. I was not a car enthusiast as I can remember. I mean, every kid loves cars, so I'm sure I have my dreams about cars and what cars were cool. And but when I got to be 16, my folks wouldn't let me have a car, which my son right now is buying his daughter, who's just turning 16. Well, my daughter's not gonna. She's not gonna see this. But anyway, bought her a brand new Acura, a Kia. What's it called? K5.
Yeah.
And you know, all these kids are getting these fabulous cars. They drive by a Calabasas High School and it's filled with Mercedes. So, but it was a different world then. I didn't. I wasn't allowed to have a car. But my dad said, "Well, why don't we pick out a car that we both like?" So I picked out a Corvair, which was a very popular car at that time, 1962. And I always thought it was funny because it had reverse chrome wheels and it was lowered a little bit in the front and had a tonneau over the back seat and everything. And here he is driving up to his construction jobs in this lowered Corvair, which I thought was very nice of him to do for me. and it was a great car, you know, it was very cool.
So wait, I'm misunderstanding. He said at 16 he wouldn't buy you a car, but then
he would buy himself a car that I would also drive at night.
I see. So he'd include you in on the purchase idea, but weren't you like, hey, I'm 16, I'm making a lot of money. Were you making more money than your dad at that point?
Oh, I think so, probably. Which
and then weren't you like, hey, well, aren't I allowed to spend this? Is this pre Jackie Coogan accounts or post Jackie Coogan accounts?
Post.
It's after. So your money is protected.
I bought a boat instead. I was a boat guy. So
what kind of boat did you get?
It was an outboard. It was a glass bar, 16 foot with an Evinrude 75 on it.
Wow.
And spent all my time in Catalina water skiing and screwing around.
So where would you launch this boat from? Or did you have it moored in Catalina?
Well, it was moored all summer in Catalina. And we'd launch it from, I think, Long Beach somewhere, or maybe San Pedro.
Wow, so you had so these were swinging teenage years for you. You got your own boat, you're on Catalina, you're famous. It must have been pretty fantastic.
That seems so hot, though.
What's that?
Being famous ain't so hot.
What? At 16 or 15 it's not? Why isn't it?
Well, it kind of interferes with your normal life, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, aren't you just meeting girls? Like, who doesn't want to date Wally?
That's what everybody says, but I never knew how to capitalize on that. I had my buddy, Paul Peterson. Now, you know, he would come over to Catalina and we'd screw around over there. And he was great at it, you know. But me, I didn't know. And if I did talk to a girl and was nice and we were, I could never figure out how to put my arm around her. forever to get anywhere with these girls.
I can relate to all of this, and I totally understand. Let me ask you some boat questions, because I'm thinking about getting a boat these days. Okay. Is that? Do you fish? Are you a fisherman?
I'm not a fisherman, no.
So you just like the sport, the water skiing and cruising around aspect?
Well, Catalina's got so many nooks and crannies and little coves that are, you know, that are uninhabited.
And so then what would you do? You would take the ferry over for the weekend or something and then use your boat? Or how did it work?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. All right. So this car of your dad's that he bought for you guys to share and is cool. It's a great dad move. I understand you found its way back to you.
Yeah, that's an incredible story. I get an email one day, and it says, "Hey, how would you like to get your original car back?" And I said, "Who's this flake? You know, what's going on?" I mean, you know. And so I didn't do anything about it for a couple of days, a week, and then finally I thought, "Well, I should probably email this guy back and see what's up." So I did. And he told me the whole story about how he and his buddy had grown up with this Corvair. And they did all the things that I used to do with it, except that they were mechanics. This guy was an engineer and a machinist. So he worked on the car all the time. They drank beer, which I didn't do, but they drank beer in the garage and worked on the car. They double dated in the car, which is bad for the guy in the back seat. And it was like the main thing in their life is in high school. And so he said, "My friend has passed away and I'm the guy who's taking care of it." And he said, would you like it back? And so now I'm thinking, well, it's probably a pile of junk, So anyway, I said, "Well, I'll come down and take a look at it." So I went down, took a look at it, and it was this beautiful lacquered paint job that was gorgeous, and this guy had done all this work. I mean, my car was kind of a midnight blue, and it was a normal Corvair with like 108 or 9 horsepower, whatever they had. And now he put a spider engine in it, so all of a sudden, it's 160 or whatever that is. And then he put a turbo on it, and then he put alcohol injection on it. So now we got it up to like 245 horsepower in this 2,000-pound car, or whatever. He said his biggest joy, or his friend told me, their biggest joy was to pull up to a Mustang and nod that they were going to take off. And a Mustang guy would give them a sly smile, and they would take off, and they would just blow the Mustangs away. So anyway, the part of the story is that, after 60 years or whatever it was, I got my first car back.
Wow, wow. And you have it to this day?
Yeah.
Do you have a big car collection, or is that it?
That's it. I've only had one cool car at a time.
Right, right.
I'm pretty practical. Other car is a Prius. Do you think that's cool?
Well, I do. Most people listening don't. But we've had 3 of them in my house, and I've had enjoyable, enlightening moments in them. One, I remember having to pick up a ride-on car for Christmas years ago, and they said, "You got to bring a pickup truck," and I went to the Toys R Us, and I said, "I have a Prius," and we were able to load that giant ride-on car right into the Prius. It fit perfectly.
Wow.
And it really impressed the Toys R Us loading crew and me. I was so impressed that car could do it.
We've had 4 of them.
Yeah, yeah, they're all right.
They're a great car. In the beginning, they were super ahead of their time.
Sure, they are the beginning of what I think is now the big changeover to electric. Toyota really demonstrated that people will buy these things to do a better job of keeping our air clean. Let's talk about the Fireball coloring book, because I didn't know about Fireball's coloring books until I saw the Tony Dow book signing. in Burbank at that auto books store.
Okay.
Yeah, and I thought, this is really cool. I kind of saw it separately from Fireball. How long have you known Fireball?
I don't know. Let's see.
Many years?
Ten years.
Okay,
ten
so years. So he came up and he said, hey, let's do a coloring book. What? Tell everybody what your book is about. How did you choose the 18 or 20 or so pages to color? There it is, well, right there.
There it is. Oh, you can't see it.
I can see it. Well, I can describe it. Go ahead. So that's the Corvair on the cover right there.
Yeah, that's the Corvair. Right.
That used to be your dad's and yours.
There's an old guy there, too.
And then, so, well, there you go. And there's Wally from Leave It to Beaver, and there's you now with your golden white locks and a beard. I see you've lost the beard. And then what else do we have in there? Oh, there's
ice cream. We got Wally. Ice cream is the main force in Fireball in my life. Yeah.
It is. What is your favorite ice cream? I love ice cream, too.
La Dolce.
You like McConnell's?
McConnell's, yeah, it's. I like Haagen-Dazs, you know. I mean,
I do too. Wow, look at that. Yeah, so, Fireball, did you draw all of these from scratch, or were you able to find photographs and use part of the photographs too, or is it a combination of both?
Everything's drawn from scratch, except, you know, obviously Tony's face. You know, you want to match, and
right.
you want to make it really good. You know,
right.
So, you know, the thing is that Tony's had a pretty extensive career as a director. He did lot of shows as well.
What is that? What is this one right here that seems to be a sci-fi show?
Babylon 5.
Oh, and you directed that?
Yeah, I directed a number of them, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. That's
very cool.
The neat thing is that this is, you know, all of his pages are autobiographical, so he gets to tell his story.
Oh, wow.
With each one of these images, and this was him on the boat, and he had a pet penguin and a bunch
of that's you laying on your back with a pet penguin. Well, explain that to me.
Well, let's see here. All my life, I've always loved penguins. So,
penguins.
Somebody said, well, if you could be any animal, what would you want to be? And of course, I didn't think about it too much, but I said, well, I'd like to be a penguin. So this friend of mine, I was working on a show. And he said, well, I can get you one. $200. And I said, oh, here it is. Here's the $200. Give me the penguin. And it was great. It was just the greatest.
So this guy, any idea where he sourced the penguin? Was it the zoo? How does a guy just have a penguin?
Well, remember Marine Land?
Yeah.
Who was head of
penguin. Yeah. So he lifts a penguin and he sells it to you. And then how do you care for a penguin? Was it living at your house?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I built a pond for it. So it was in a pond in the valley.
Did the pond have icebergs?
That's a mistake. Most people think that penguins live in the Antarctic or Arctic or wherever the hell they live.
Right. But
they actually, most penguins are tropical.
Wow. So what was the name of your penguin?
Miles.
After Miles Davis.
No, I wish it was, but no.
Miles. Miles Standish? That is awesome. Wait, I want to talk more about penguins because, you know, my co-host loves exotic animals, and we've thought long and hard about getting squirrels as pets, never a penguin. But now, you know, you're right. Penguins are really cute. They're really funny. Are they? What do they eat? What did you feed the penguin?
Well, you feed the penguins, let's see, smelt, you know, fish.
You go to
the fish thing and get a big box of frozen smelt.
And what is the lifespan of a penguin?
Well, I don't know because mine didn't last that long.
Oh, no.
It was great. I had it for 3 or 4 years. I lived on that boat, which was a 55-foot sailboat.
Yeah.
And he lived there with me. And
no
I also
way.
Had an otter. I had a clawless otter, Malayan clawless otter.
And where? Oh, there's a nice picture from the coloring book right there of the otter and the penguin and looking at a whale. So where was this boat moored that you had an otter and a penguin living with you?
It was in San Pedro.
San Pedro. And did the otter and the penguin, would they jump into the water and swim for a while and then come back?
Yeah, they would.
And so they roamed freely on the boat.
They roamed freely on the boat and on the dock.
Wow, that is cool.
One of my favorite stories is I get a knock on my boat, and I get up. It's early in the morning. I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me.
Yeah, me too. We're all having a bad week out here with the pollen.
Yeah. So anyway, I go up, and I see that it's a guy that lives on his boat with his wife way on the far other side of the marina. And he's got my otter by the tail. And he says, listen, we love Ollie. We really do. But when he climbs in our bed at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's all wet and he dries off on my wife and myself, that's going too far. So anyway, that was one of my favorite stories about Ollie.
Wow. That's pretty exciting that you have these two pets. That's a lot of fun. Huh?
I had a lesser anteater at the same time.
Really?
Lesser anteaters aren't the ones with a big bushy tail. They're, but they're really cute.
Fireball, did that make it into the coloring book, the anteater?
No, it didn't.
Show me a few more pages from the book.
More car stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Sure.
But Tony had a lot of Porsches over the years.
Yeah, after the Corvair, I sold it, and now my dad, our family, would let me have any car I wanted. So I went out and looked for him for a car, and I saw a Corvette that I really liked. I thought it was very cool, 62 Corvette. And I saw a Mercedes-Benz Gullwing, which I really thought was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Until the guy selling it to me said, well, they're really expensive. It costs $300 to get them tuned up. And I said, I can't afford that. So I went and I bought, instead of buying $1 million Gullwing, I bought the Corvette. And it was a great car, except that it got stolen every time I drive it, practically.
What about these Porsches? What Porsches did you own?
I owned a, well, the first one was a 63 Super 90. And then I bought a, now this is later in life because I had that Porsche for a long time.
Yep.
And then later in life, after I'd driven a couple of other things, I went back to Porsche and I bought a, well, I had a 914. Is that?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. 914. Yep.
And then I had a, a 52 Porsche, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Really a neat car.
That's a very early 356 and very different.
Yeah, it had the weirdest windshield. The windshield came to a point.
Yeah, split window.
So if you tried to look out of it, it was really distorted. After they had the split windshield.
Yeah. Did it have wood inside of it?
No.
It wasn't that old.
Well, not that I know of. It might have.
Along the door panels. No.
Huh?
Cannonball.
Oh.
He's got a good cannonball story.
Well, yeah. When I this was my Super 90, I guess. I had had it painted, and it looked really great. It was in like chocolate brown.
Uh-huh. Very cool.
And, you know, I used them all the time. I mean, I'd drive them up to the snow to go skiing and whatever. And, so I was home at one time and I wanted to get something out of the trunk and I couldn't get the trunk to open because it just wouldn't open. So I tried for about 10 minutes and I got really frustrated. So I took about 5 steps back, ran forward, jumped into the air and did a cannonball right on the hood, which is the stupidest thing I've ever done, maybe.
And what was the result?
Porsche with a big dent in the hood.
And did it open?
No. Now it really didn't open. No.
And then did you fix the car or did you just sell it?
No, I fixed it. And,
so, you just lost your temper with it. Well, I think we've all had moments like that. But boy, I've never heard of anyone cannonballing a Porsche before. This is pretty good.
That would be interesting to find out how many people have actually done that.
I would guess one in the history. of Porsche ownership, and also one penguin owner and otter owner on a sailboat. You are unique in that sense.
Yeah,
I've interviewed a lot of people and not heard either of these stories. Fireball, if we want to get the Tony Dow coloring book, oh, that's my coloring book right there. It's got the orange, right?
That's all the cool stuff you got.
No, I know. I got excited when Fireball asked me to do it.
You're the first person who's ever put a Schwinn, an orange crate, in a book. So that's pretty cool.
I find that hard to believe because the Schwinn orange crate crowd is a very passionate crowd. And I am guessing there's going to be a lot more. Those bikes were so big when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
And even to track them down now, they're thousands of dollars. And, you know, even if you want to just get the parts on eBay, you're spending so much money. And my mom gave mine away when I went off to college. The coloring books, Fireball, go ahead, plug us. Where are we getting them?
The regular books are available on Amazon. All of our books are there. Your book, Tony's, and we have one with Magnus Walker that just came out. But Tony has signed books available on Etsy, which is really cool. And he has his own line of trading cards as well, which is pretty fun because the target market is, you know, older guys that grew up with trading cards and where coloring was certainly in. So those are available on the Fireball store on Etsy. But pretty much everything's on Amazon.
There you go. Perfection. Well, Tony, it's really a pleasure meeting you. Like I said, I'm a huge fan, and congratulations on Leave It to Beaver 60 years later.
Congratulations to you for being the soup Nazi.
But it's, you know, I'm being completely honest with you. It was shows like that that made me want to go into television. I loved your show, and I loved shows like MASH. And when I was in New York, I thought, I've watched these things that I loved, and they had special meaning for me, and why don't I try to do that? I'm uniquely qualified, and maybe the generation behind me can enjoy the stuff that I write. So, anyway,
I was convinced that I was convinced you were known for the B movie. I thought that was the one that.
That is, according to my kids, the biggest meme.
Yeah.
My dad wrote the biggest meme with his friends, and I don't know if they're making fun of me or they're actually excited about it, and I don't care. But yeah, some people know me for that as well. Anyway, Fireball, Tony, good to see you guys, and we'll see you out in Malibu on Sunday at some point. Hey, Tony?
Great. Absolutely.
Thank you, Spike.
Absolutely. All right.
Thanks a lot.
And we're back.
Hey.
Next week, we have Kevin Hart. He's got a new show on Motor Trend. What is the name of it?
It's called like Kevin Hart's Muscle Cars or something.
Kevin Hart Muscles Car. Yeah. And somebody was saying that, you know, Matt Farah was saying that, you know, they can't afford to pay people to do these car shows anymore. Well, I guarantee
they're paying him.
They're paying him a lot of money because Kevin Hart would not get out of bed for $10,000. I would guess it's 50 to 100 an episode, but we'll find that out.
Ask him. That's a good leadoff question. Are you?
Yes, exactly. How much did you pull out of the Motor Trend? They've got money.
Sure.
They're paying
Discovery.
You.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean.
Oh yeah. Right. It's Discovery. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, yeah. So we'll see you next week on the show, guys. That's all. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.